On Daf Samach Beis Omer Aleph Tanya, top of the Omer. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Pamachas Nichnasti Acher Rabbi Yeshua LeBeis Akisei. This was in Eretz Yehuda. V'lamadati Mimenu Shlosha Dvarim. I was careful to see what I could learn from Rabbi Yeshua. Lomadati she'ein nifnim, that in Eretz Yehuda we don't defecate afilu bizman hazeh, even in our time, in a way that he exposed itself mechuvan be'mizrach lamarav el tzofon ledarim. He should be in the direction of north to south, and that's the only direction, because Rabbi Yeshua lived in Yehuda, and this was the required manner of defecation. V'lamadati she'ein nifraim, that we don't expose ourselves me'umad el miyushav, not in a standing position but in a sitting position. And that means that he should expose himself as little as possible. We don't wipe ourselves biyad yamin, with our right hand, but rather biyad smol, with our left hand. And even again, it might be easier to use the right hand. In some cases, it might be easier to wipe yourself in a standing position, but it's got to be in a sitting position and with the left hand. Omale ben Azai, ben Azai turned to Rabbi Akiva and says, Ad kan he'az to panecha kirabcha. Were you able to actually look so carefully at your Rebbe? Isn't that a brazen, bold hazas ponim? Omale, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Torah hi v'lilmod ani tzarech. These are the laws of Beis Akisei, and I have to learn them. Now, most of these laws have to do with modesty, but the fact that he uses Yad Smol, that doesn't have to do with modesty. So we'll try to understand, what is this halacha of using Yad Smol? The Rash Beit says that the Iser to wipe yourself with your right hand is when you're being mekaneach with your yad, but as far as using a tzror or something else, that's not osur. However, here they were medayik from Rabbi Akiva. He says el b'smol, that he's coming to exclude the right hand. In any event, even al yedei davracher, it's still osur lekaneach b'yamin, and that's what Rabbi Akiva derived from Rabbi Yeshua. That's what he learnt. And we'll try to figure out what this means, but maybe because the Yamin is the hand of Tov, of Chizuk, of spirituality, and therefore you don't use it for such a demeaning act. The Gemara now brings another story of a Talmud who watched his Rebbe and learned tznius from his Rebbe, and he went into a makom tzanua, a private area. Rav Kahana ol gina tuse purye derav. Just 1 second, we skipped one little brisa. Hatanya Ben Azay Omer Pamach Zechasi Rabbi Kivul Beis Akis Matvei Shloshu Dvarti Ein Nifnim Mizrach Marvel Etzofa Dov Mati Chei Nifram Umer El Miyushal Mati Chei Mekanechim Bimin El Bismol Olmelo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to Ben Azay, Ad Kan Hayasta Panecha Berabcha Olmelo Torahi Velumod Ani Tzarech. So it's the identical story as we had before with Rabbi Akiva watching Rabbi Yeshua and the Beis Akisei. And the first Maisa, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, and then the Maisa now, Rabbi Akiva ben Azai, why they told one after the other, And it's very interesting because Ben Azai already knew these halachas from Rabbi Akiva. Why do you have to learn them a second time around? But perhaps Rabbi Akiva only revealed these halachas to Ben Azai after Ben Azai followed him, meaning followed Rabbi Akiva, into the Beis HaKisei. Now Ben Azai was very shocked at Rabbi Akiva following in Rabbi Yeshua, Kesed Hey is Ponov Lerabo, Berabo, even though he himself was Meis Ponov Rabbi Akiva. And apparently the answer to that is because Ben Azai was a Talmud Chover of Rabbi Akiva, and he's allowed to be knowing that way. However, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who asked him, Ad kan he'azta panech berabcha, which sounds like even in the case of a Talmud Chover, he shouldn't be made his ponov. Now, the Gaon is quoted as saying that we can prove that Ben Azai was a Talmud Chover because he turned to Rabbi Akiva in the first round when Rabbi Akiva went into Rabbi Yeshua and he said, Ad kan he'azta. He didn't say Ad kan he is Rebbe. So he spoke to him in second person, not in third person. Now Rabbi Akiva, with regard to Rabbi Yeshua, was not a Talmud Chacham, he was a Talmud. Now, the Imre Noam says that the story of Ben Azai was after the story, after he heard the halachas from Rabbi Akiva. And the reason why he went in to follow Rabbi Akiva was to guarantee himself that these halachas were not just theoretical, but they were also lamaisa, that Rabbi Akiva actually implemented these halachas lamaisa. And others say that the maisa of Rabbi Yeshua was in Yehuda, and the maisa of Ben Azai was in Chutz Laretz when he went in to follow Rabbi Akiva. And he wanted to establish that these halachas apply even in Chutz Laretz. You have to be makbid and not to defecate between Mizrach and Maariv, but rather from north to south. Rav Kahana Gana Tuse Puri Darav. Rav Kahana came to lay under the bed of Rav. It's a bit difficult to understand this, but he wished to observe Rav's practice in Ona, the mitzvah of marital relations. Shamei desoch v'sochak v'osa tzrochov. He heard Rav speaking what you would call a sicha b'teila with his wife, laughing with her, l'ratzosa, f'tashmish, and then he was m'shamish mitoso. And it seems that Rav had to be Maratza, his wife, because otherwise there's no speaking b'shas tashmish. Now, it says over here, Amar Le. Now, who's talking to whom over here? Amar Le. It seems like Rav Kahana, who's under the bed, is talking to Rav. And he says, Dami fume di abba kidalo sarif tavshila. Which literally translates, Abba's mouth is like the one who has not swallowed food. In other words, you're comparable to a starving man presented with food. For your lightheadedness regarding this act seems to indicate that you are engaged in it for your own pleasure, as would one who had never performed the act before. Rav's intention, however, was to infuse the occasion with a certain sense of joy, so that to ensure that his wife would take pleasure in the act. And you'll look at the Rabbi Mehilchas Deus Perkei, and he goes through this. Now, alternatively, Rav wanted to increase his own desire, since children born out of an act performed without desire are afflicted with serious character deficiencies. Rav Kahana calls Rav Abba in deference to his greatness, because the word Av is used to describe greatness, where Yosef in Breishis Mem Aleph is described as an Avrech, also Miloshan Av. Alternatively, he intended this appellation's prevalent meaning, father. It's customary to address a great person as father, a mark of respect. For example, we find Elio was taken away from his disciple, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael, father, father, Israel's chariot and horseman. So Rav responds and he says, Amale, Kahana, Hocha At? Are you here? Puk, get out of here. Delav Orech Ara, this is not Derech Etz to be here at this moment. Amalo, Rav Kahana responded, Torah Hiva Lilmod Anitzarech. Somehow Rav Kahana knew that this was Leil Ono Leil Tvila, and he went in to learn how his Rav was Noeg. The Marsha says the following. We found by Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azzi and Rav Kahana, all three of them, when they went into their rabbis, B'makom Tznius, why couldn't they just ask their rabbi straight away about these halachas? So Marsha answers, Shelechatchila lo yu mailu b'daitom sheyesh halacha b'dvarim halalu. So they didn't even think to ask their Rebbeim, but they wanted to be absolutely sure that there was nothing that they should be perhaps careful about. Now, it's very interesting that the Malbim explains the story of Rav Kahana in a slightly different way. It's not that Rav Kahana went into the bedroom of Rav, but rather Rav lived in the attic, in the upper floor, and underneath him there was a bedroom. And the beds were stacked one on top of the other. Rav Kahana climbed on the top bed, which is underneath the ceiling, and he heard whatever he heard through the ceiling. And when Rav Kahana said, "Dummy pumye diaba," he didn't say that to Rav, but rather to his friend who slept in the bed below his. But Rav heard his voice, and he said to him, "Ein derech eretz b'kach." And on that, Rav Kahana answered, Torah Hiva Lilmod Anitzarech. The Gemara now goes back to the Braisa that says you shouldn't wipe yourself after defecating with your right hand, but rather with your left hand. And the Gemara asks, Mipnei ma ein mekanchim b'yamin ela b'smol? Why is it that you use your left hand and not your right hand? Omer Rava, Mipnei shatora nitna b'yamin. Torah was given with the right hand. Shenemar bimino eish das lomo. The Torah is called eish das, and that was given on the right side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the right side of a person is machashuv, and therefore he shouldn't use it for a davar meguna. Rav Bar Chana Omer, the reason why ein mekanchim biyamin mipnei shikro v'lepeh, because it's more common to take the right hand and put it into your mouth. And therefore, more common than the left. Therefore, his right hand has to be exceedingly clean, because it comes in contact with his mouth, which is used for eating. And therefore, he should use his left hand to wipe himself. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar, the reason why ein mekanchim b'yamin, mipnei shekosher ba tefillin al yado hakeah, because the right hand is used to wrap his tefillin onto his left hand. That's a general case, but not all cases. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, the reason why I'm a kan chim b'yamin, b'vnei shemar abo tamei Torah. Now let's try to see if we can understand what that means. Maraba Tame Torah. The notes of the Torah. Tame Torah means what we call trup. And these are the symbols that indicate the musical tones used to chant the verses of the Torah and the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. And if these notes are written into a scroll, one following these notes must do so with his right hand. Likewise, one following the custom of describing the shape of the note with his right hand while chanting the tune, he may employ only his right hand. So we're talking about using the right hand for something holy and not to use it for something profane. And this is because the notes of the Torah, when they're written on a ksav, you follow those notes by reading along with your right hand. And the various musical notes in chanting the Torah were taught to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, the part of Torah Shebal Peh, and the part of the transmission of Torah. Therefore, it was prohibited to read these tunes as written symbols, since the oral Torah may not be written down. Hi. Yeah. So the story here of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak of Maratamei Torah is the, as we said before, the trop of Pashta Darga, etc. A person, it says here in Rashi, is Molech Yodo Biosa Tzurashem Ksuvim B'Sefer. And again, it's not 100% clear why Rav Nachman Yitzchak disagrees with the other reasons given. But Ketanoi, the Gemara says that there's already a Machlokes Tanoim about this issue about Kinuach B'Yamin. Rabbi Lezer Omer, why don't you wipe yourself with your right hand, B'nei She'ochel Ba? And Rabbi Yeshua Omer B'nei She'kosev Ba, Rabbi Kiva B'nei She'mara Ba Tamei Torah. So Rabbi Kiva seems to reflect the opinion of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. The other two opinions seem to be somewhat new, not totally new. I mean, B'nei She'ochel Ba, that has to do with germs and dirt and things, filth like that. And that's what we saw before about the pear, that, you know, it's Krovel a pear. And then the reasoning of Rabbi Yeshua, B'nei She'kosev Ba, that he writes a Sefer Torah and Tefillin before we spoke about kosher, but that he uses the right hand to tie his Tefillin Shel Yad. But in any event, there's a certain similarity between the two. Rabbi Tanchum ben Chanilai Omar, Kol Hatzanua Bebeis HaKise, if someone is modest in when he goes to the bathroom, is nitzol mishlosh dvarim, he'll be saved from three things: min hanachashim, from the serpents; min hakravim, from scorpions; umin hamazikin, from demons and shadim that frequent the beis hakiseh. One who is modest attends to his knees quietly, and when he does so, he doesn't agitate the snakes, the scorpions. He's not in danger from the demons. They will not trouble someone who's modest. And the safety of the individual to the angels that accompany a person, perhaps, that's the safety that we're talking about. They'll guard a modest person from dangers, but they will abandon someone who's immodest. Now, between the opinions of the various Tanum and the Amoraim, five reasons emerge for not wiping with the right hand. The Torah was given to the God by God with God's right hand, and the right hand is used for eating. One who ties tefillin wraps it with his right hand. One who shows the trup notes it with his right hand. And it's used for writing holy things. Now, what about a lefty? It probably is true that all the reasons except for one would apply equally to a left-handed individual. However, regarding, let's say, tefillin, then a left-handed person would certainly be wiping his hand with his right hand, because he's wrapping his tefillin with his left hand onto his right hand. Now, if you have the reasoning of eating, I'm not sure where the left-handed fits in. If you're talking about where he shows the trup when he's reading the Torah, once again, it's not clear. But one thing is perfectly clear, that the Torah was given with God's right hand. That doesn't change for a lefty. However, Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah, seems to paskin in the third siman of Or Chaim, in Sifkat and Yud Zayin, that a lefty should use his right hand for wiping and not his left hand. So I guess you'd say that most of these reasons would change, would flip around if you were a lefty. But again, the exception to that rule is certainly is the reasoning of Eish Das Lama, that Bimino, God gave this the Torah. Then the Gemara says, the Yeshomim, some say that not only will he be Zoche to be spared when he's careful about Tznius in the Beis HaKis, spared from all those different dangers, but also Chalomosov, Avchavomosov, Yushovim Olav. His dreams will be calming to him. And dreams are also often brought about by the activity of demons. So, since he's protected from the demons, he'll have calming dreams. Gemara tells the story of Ahu Beis Hakisid Avi B'Tveria. So there was an outhouse in Tveria. Ki Avi Ailu Bei, when they went up to it, Bei Trey, two at a time, is Afilu B'Yamama Mitzake. Even when two would enter at a time, even during the daytime, B'Yamama, they would be harmed by demons. There was something dangerous going along. And demons don't usually trouble two people together, as we learned back on Daf Gimel. They're less active during the day, but these demons were very active and dangerous during the day, and even when two people went in. So now the Gemara offers two opinions, Rav Ami Rav Asi. Just 1 second here. He says generally shadim are not mazikim two at a time, and so forth, as we said before. But in that Beis HaKisei, for some reason, the demons were very dangerous, yoser mikadarkam, way beyond their normal way. Now, Rabbi Ami, Rav Asi, Avi Ailui Bei Chad V'Chad L'Chude. They went, when two would enter, they were very makbid about this. They wanted to enter each one alone. And that's what they did in this space, Akisei and Tveria. Each one went in alone, and they were not harmed. Lo Mitzaki. Amri Le Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said to them, Lo mistafisu, you weren't afraid. Amrale, ana kabbalah gamrina. We had a tradition. Kabbalah de Beis HaKisei tzniusa ush sikusa. That with regard to going into the bathroom, the most important attributes and patterns of behavior are modesty and silence. Kabbalah di Suresh Sikusa Umi Boy Rachme. The tradition conserving sufferings is one of silence and praying for mercy. So what is most important is privacy, silence. Now, acceptance of the afflictions in silence and without complaint, in the understanding that they are justly administered. So let's ask, why was Rav Ami and Rav Asi mentioned in this second tradition in the context of the laws of modesty? And the Ben Ish Chai explains that when they indeed had to show their tradition, that doesn't require to maintain a complete silence in the Beis HaKisa, but only to refrain from speech. That's their tradition. So their tradition in terms of the modesty in the Beis HaKisa was that although complete silence is not required, but just refrain from speech. And then Kabbal di Suresh Sikusa Umiboy Rachme, the tradition as to what our response should be to suffering is one of Shtikus of silence and praying for mercy. And that means to accept the afflictions in silence without complaint, as we mentioned earlier. Abai Mirabile Ime. Abai's mother raised a sheep, Imra sheep, Lemeil Bahadye Lebeis HaKise, so that the sheep would follow him into the Beis HaKise. So this is what happens. Like, my grandmother raised a goat who would escort my father when he went to Cheder back in Lithuania to protect him. So too, Abaye, his mother, would raise a sheep in order to protect him in the bathhouse, so he shouldn't be alone. So Mama, she trained the sheep to follow him everywhere, even into the bathhouse. Ularabe le Gadya, why didn't they let her raise a goat? Why did she choose a sheep? Soyer b'soyer michlaf. A goat could be interchanged with another goat-like being, which is a mazik, a shade, and could not afford protection. Rava Makamidavi Resha, Rava, who is the head of an academy of a Resha, Mekarkashah Le Bas Rabbi Chia, the daughter of Rav Chizda, which is Rava's wife, would rattle a walnut in a receptacle for him, protect him from the shadim and from the snakes when he went to the bathroom. So she would remain within the house and she would be mekarkishta, she would rattle a walnut in a receptacle. And she was within the house when she would shake the rattle. He would defecate outside the house near the place where she was shaking the rattle. And the reason she remained indoors was because it would have been immodest for her to accompany him, notwithstanding the fact that she was his wife. So it would not be appropriate for tznius for her to accompany him when he was defecating.
even though she was his wife. So therefore she stayed within the house. The noise of the shaking of this kind of rattle would drive away the snakes and the demons. Basar de Molach, and when Rava was appointed as the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the academy, then the danger of the mazikin, of these demons, was even greater, because they have a greater envy of Torah scholars than any other people. So they had a greater wish to harm them. Avdalei kavta umanchalei yoda aresha. He says here that Avdala kavta osasalo chalon, kavta is a window, keneged mokom shenifne bo meachori abayis, and it was parallel to the place where outside the house he was defecating. Umanchale yoda reshe, she would put her hand on his head as he relieved himself, and he wasn't alone. The main thing, that he shouldn't be alone. For hoisa motzias yodo mitoch habayis derech hachlo minichal rosho l'shom rubi eish shenifna shom. Omar Ulo, if a person needs to defecate and he's with someone else, achorei agoder nifna miyad, which means that on the other side of the gadar, the gadar is a some sort of a barrier, or a wall, we'll call it a wall. So modesty does not require him to distance himself from others, just to make sure that he's behind a wall. But he should be in close proximity to others for the purpose of protection. He shouldn't be alone. Ubibika, in an open area, calls manshem is atesh v'ein chaver shomea. So long as his friend could not hear him, if he passes wind, if he could be here, his friend could hear him, he's not out of earshot, then he should distance himself even further. But he's not required to go so far as he wouldn't be seen. So we're now talking about an open area. There are no walls here. But Isi ben Barnosan disagrees. Masni Hachi. He had a different tradition. And that is Achorei Agoder, if he is behind the wall and his friend can't see him, mutulifanos, but only calls man shemisrachik b'shir shemisatesh v'en chaver shomea. So that if he's behind a wall, and he also has the additional condition that he's distancing himself so his friend can't hear any of his noises, then it's okay. Ubebika. But if he's in an open area, then calls man she'en chaver ro'ehu. If he's far enough away that his friend could not hear him pass wind. That's how far away he has to be. Right? B'mercha kazeh shegam lo yishma im yafiyah. V'ayinu sheish isuli panes bein b'ro'eh bilvad u'bein b'shomeh bilvad. So you're going to have to cover both of these conditions. Make sure there's no shmiah, no re'iyah. That's the shita of Isi Barnosan. Mesve. So they have a kasha from a Mishnah. And this Mishnah is in Masechta Taros. Yotzimi Pesach Beis Habad V'nifnin Amleachorei HaGoder V'hein Tahorim. They here... is related to those who guard the olive presses
from being contaminated. Is they may go out of the doorway of the pressing house, which is called the Beis Chabad. You've seen it here. You could see the in Beit Rubin and other places. You could see it in Matityahu, those areas where they have the Beis Chabad, the oil presses, the olive presses. And he's permitted to defecate right there behind the wall, and the olives will remain uncontaminated. And that's what it says here, v'hein tahorim. In other words, we don't suspect that in a short period of time, like this one, an amoritz entered and contaminated them. But we see that as long as one is behind the wall, he may defecate, even if he is in close proximity to the others. He need not distance himself at all. That's a kasha on Isi Bar Noson, who requires that Ein Chaver Ro'eu, or Mesatesh Ve'Ein Chaver Shomea. So the Gemara answers to defend Isi Bar Noson B'Taharo Sekelu. The Rabbanu would make you in order to protect the purity of Taros. Therefore, they did not require the guard to observe the normal dictates of modesty. So they would waive this in order to guarantee and protect the purity of Taharos. Let's go over the Mishnah in Taharos. Is talking about Shomrei Taharos. So we want to make sure that the workers who are ignorant should not touch the oil. If the shomrim had to defecate, then yotzim mipesach beis habad v'nifnim liachorei hagoder. So it means that the shemen will remain and maintain its cheskes tara as long as there's nifnin l'achorei hagoder. That's enough. And you see that mutarim liponos achorei hagoder, even though there are people who are close by and they can hear the hafacha. And that's against Isi Bar Noson. Because all you need is Yotzi Mipesach Beis Chabad V'nifnin Le'achorei Hagoder. It means Smucha Le'Pesach. And we're not going to be choshish that during that small short period of time the Amoritz will come in and make contact with the Shemen. Toshma L'Gmur now has another kasha on Isi Ben Nasan from the Sefer, that very same Mishnah. And it says, Kama yarchiku viyu tahorim. How far do the shomer have to go to distance themselves? And yet the shemen, how far are they allowed to distance themselves? And yet the shemen will still remain tahor. Kedeshi yu ro'ehu. They shouldn't go too far, but as long as somebody could see the shomer, and they'll know if the Amoritz was no Ger B'Shemen, they'll make sure to see from a distance. And the reason for that is because Ein HaShomer Yochel Esrachik Yoser. It means that the Shomer can be Misrachik that distance and maintain the assumption of the Cheskes Tara, because they can be seen. And since they can be seen, then the Shomer is able to see the Amoritz to make sure he doesn't touch the Shemen. Now, since the Shomer doesn't have to go so far, it must be that when he needs to defecate and there's no barrier there, then he's allowed to defecate al pnei asada, even though those who are outside the Beis Chabad
will be able to hear him. And this is against Isi ben Nasan. So Gemara answers that shiny ochle taharas takilibu rabbanon. So the Gemara is able to defend and deflect this question against Isi ben Bar Nasan by saying that the din of shmiras macholim bitara, the rabbanon would make it on the shomrim, that they don't have to go too far, so that they'll be able to be shomer and fulfill their role here, their contribution of protecting the oil from contamination. But in other cases, you'd have to be misrachek to the distance where ein chaveru ro'eu. Rav Ashi Omer, he gives a different answer to this question, and he quotes the Sefer, this Mishnah, in Taurus, and the Mishnah says, "My calls man she'en chaveru roe, the ka'amar isi bar Yehuda calls man she'en chaveru roe, es peru o, aval didei chazile." So he sees his friend, v'nei she'shar gufo in itzorch lahastir, me'enei chaveru v'yichon l'ros zeh et zeh. So they can't see him expose his body, but he does see him out there. And you know, the one who's defecating doesn't have to cover up that part of his body other than the place where he's poro, and his friend can see him. And therefore the Mishnah says that Shomer Misrachakim Achinim Tzoyim V'Beis Habad is lo yuchlu liros es piruam, aval adayin yichom lahabit misham el beis habad ulahamshich bishmirosam. So they allowed the guards to go as far as the people in the beis habad would not be able to see piruam when they exposed themselves, but they were still close enough to the beis habad that from there they could see the beis habad, and they were continuing to observe and to guard the Beis Habad to make sure that there was shmira and there was no contamination of the oil in the Beis Habad. So the basic rule here, the underlying principle, is that they were more mekil, and they did not require the guard to observe the normal dictates of modesty in order to make it easier for this shmira to take place and protect the oil from contamination. So that seems to be a separate halacha in Taros, in order to facilitate the guarding of the Taros. Hikilu hachachomim al hashomrim shlo yisrachku yoser kevan shetzrichim l'shomrom. You know, because food had to remain tar, and therefore, even in this kind of tug of war here between modesty on the one hand and making sure that they wouldn't go too far, the shomrim, so that they could still be shomer tara in favor of the shara tara, they found this middle of the road modesty, which means that they would not be seen close enough that the parts that they would expose would be seen, but they could still see. So that was Rav Ashi and Betara Sikilu. Just one second. Let's see where we're up to now. Okay, now the Gemara has another Toshma. Just one second. No, so basically on both Toshmas, the Gemara gives fundamentally the same answer. In the first one, we had the Mishnah in Taras, and we answered Taras Ikilu, and now we have the Sefer, that Mishnah, and the Kasha of Ravashi. Ravashi's Teretz was, once again, that Shani Ochli Taras Ikilu Rabbanon, and Rav Ashi sort of fine-tunes the nature of this kula in terms of the distance that he has to go, and that leads us up to the sugya of ahu saftana. Now, a saftana is a eulogizer, someone who's in charge of eulogies. And again, we're going to see the Mile of Tznius in the Beis HaKisei. The Nochis Kami der Rav Nachman. He went down to the podium in order to give a eulogy for someone who passed away. And this was in the presence of Rav Nachman. The Omer in his Tespit, he said, Hai Tzanu B'Yarchos of Hava. That this departed was very modest in his ways. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "At Eilus Bahadei LeBeis Akise." Did you ever enter with him into the bathhouse, the bathroom? Via Dati Tzanua Ilo, that you could be able to tell whether he's Tzanua. You can't say he's Tzanua. Tisanya Ein Korin Tzanua Elamisha Tzanua BeBeis Akise. We don't refer to someone as a modest one unless he is one who behaves modestly while in the Beis HaKisei. Rav Nachman, my nafkale mina, why was he so opposed if the eulogizer would say something right or not right? I mean, he only said something positive. Mishum desanya, we learned to the Braisa. Kishem shenifroim min amesim. Just like in the heavenly courts, there will be justice and retribution against the dead. When people say about them that they did certain ma'asim tovim, which were not true, and it's that not an appropriate description for them. It's not accurate, because that's mazkir avanosa. Up in Shemayim, in the heavenly courts, they start thinking, oh, this and that. No, that's not true. Kach nifroim in asavdonim. And those who eulogize and say things about the dead that are not true, they try to, you know, beef it up and exaggerate their midos tovos, and it's not true, is they will also be, be punished. And anyone who says amen to such a hesped, and he adds his agreement, his consent, he also will be punished. So therefore, if Nach was very makbid, not to sit there idly and as if to accept what the Saftan said, which was not necessarily true, kidei shelo ye'onshu al kach, so he shouldn't be punished. Rav Nachman himself had an agia here that he shouldn't be punished. And that's what we're saying over here, that a eulogizer is obligated to exaggerate slightly in describing good needs of the deceased, but it's forbidden to attribute to him qualities that he did not possess at all. So one who does so brings harm upon the deceased by causing his sins to be recalled in heaven, because the discrepancy between the person's actual qualities and the praise that they're heaping upon him causes his deeds to be more closely examined. The eulogizer also brings harm upon himself, thus in consequence of false praise, retribution exacted both from the dead, from those who are eulogizing him and cause him to be punished, and even from those who sit there and accept and say amen, either literally or figuratively, to what was said in the hesped. We learned in the Braisa, Ezu Tzanua, Zeh Nifne Belaila B'Mokum Shenifne Bayom, that he defecates in the nighttime in the same place that he defecates during the day, which means that he distances himself from others when defecating by day, and so too when defecating at night. So from the fact that he takes such care to ensure his privacy even at night, when in any case he couldn't easily be seen, that's proof that he's truly modest. The Gemara asks the question, Eini, is that really so? Veha Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav Li Olam Yanig Odom Es Atzmo Shachris Vi Arvis. A person should try to defecate both
in the morning and at night. It seems like he should perhaps defecate twice, or maybe it means that if he's defecating twice, he should try to be makpid to defecate early in the morning, before daybreak, at night after dark has fallen. And kedesh lo yehit sarach lisrachek, so they will not have to distance himself from others, because if he does so and he has to distance himself, there's a danger involved, and also at the same time there's a risk in postponing defecation. So it's better if one could avoid the need to distance himself by defecating at night. Now again, our bathrooms are close at hand, and there's no need for one to accustom himself to defecating morning and evening. However, it's proper to defecate in a timely manner. That's a matter of purity and cleanliness. And it's particularly true with regard to regular defecation each morning, which enables one to recite the morning prayers in a state of purity. The Gemara says the following. Ubalaila Rava Biyamama Havi Azil Admil. Rava, if it was daytime, he would distance himself as far as a meal from his house to defecate, and Belaila Amar Leila Shame, he would tell his servant, Panuli Duchta Berchov Demasa, clear me a place in the street, in the city street. So at night, he would say to his shamash, Hechinuli Makam Ponimi Bnei Adam Berchov, find me some sort of private deserted area in the street in the city. And that's where I'm going to go defecate. V'chein Omer Le Rav Zera L'Shameh, Rav Zera told his servant, Chazi Man De'ika Achorei Beis Chavrei, see if anyone's behind the house of the Chaverim, Deba'ino L'mifne, because I need to defecate. And I need to make sure that the area is clear of people. No one's around. Now, I'm not sure why in the English it says here who is behind the study hall. That's not clear to me. It just says the Beis Chaverim over here. In any event, we see clearly that in the Rechov Ha'ir, in the city street, Me'achori Beis HaChaverim, it's impossible to defecate by day because people will see him. And nevertheless, Rava and Rav Zera went there to defecate at night. And that seems to be against the Braisa. So we have two proofs that seem to contradict the Braisa. The Braisa is assuming that Snias requires Nifne Bayom B'mokav Shein Nifne Balayla, back and forth, same place. But it's not true, because if you take a look at the statement of Rabbi Yudam Rav, it says here that he should regulate himself to go to relieve himself, Shachas Yavis, in such a way that in the middle of the day, in the middle of the day, he wouldn't have to defecate, because then he would have to be marchik and go way, way far away. Meaning at night he doesn't have that problem, but during the day he'll have the problem. So obviously he's not defecating in the same place during the night as he would be during the day, and that's against the Braisa. And then we have the two stories of Rava and Rav Zera, both of which again prove that he doesn't have to distance himself at night to the same extent he has to do during the day. Because Rava, for example, during the day would distance himself a full meal, very far out of the city.
And yet at night he just told his servant, find me a place that's a little private in the middle of the street of the city. And Rebbe Zeira told his shamus the same thing. You know, find me a place that's behind the Beis Chaverim, and that's where I'd be mefana. And this was a place that was in the Rechov Ha'ir Me'achori Beis Chaverim, a place where certainly he would not be defecating there by day, because that's a place where people see him. So it seems that Reb Zeira and Rava both defecated in a place at night, which would not have been appropriate for the daytime. In the daytime, they'd have to distance himself what's further. So how could you tell me that Ezit Senua Zat Nifna Bayom B'Makum She Nifna Balayla Bayom B'Mishma? So the answer is Lo Tema. Let's go back to the Brisa. It doesn't mean that he should defecate at night B'Makum, in the same exact place where he defecated by day, Ela Ema, but rather the intention of this Brisa was different. And that means that he should defecate at night, Kiderech Shenifne Bayom, not in the same place, but in the same mannerism. In other words, he should behave the same way with Tznius. He should not expose himself until he sits down. He shouldn't expose more than what's absolutely necessary from behind and from the front. And that's what he does during the day. He should do the same with the same care of Tznius at night. Another answer the Gemara gives to differentiate between the Brisa and the statement of Rav, etc., is Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema, even if you assume that in the Lashon HaBraisa, when it says B'makom Shenifne Bayom, there's no need to. Just one second. So the question is not on Rav from Lila that he doesn't have to be Misrache, Ki Lo Nitzricha Ela Keren Zavis. The Braisa, when it spoke about Zanifne Balaila B'makom Shenifne Bayom, it was referring to a Keren Zavis situation. And it's telling me that if he's Nifne, if he defecates at night, even though it's dark out, if there's a Keren Zavis, some sort of corner which turns to a different street, then that's where he has to go to, just like he would do that during the day, to find himself this Keren Zavis, which is more concealed, rather than defecated in an open place. Gufa, let's go back to Rav. Amar Rav Yudam Rav Li Olam Yane Gomes Hatzmo Shachas Yarvis Kidei Shelo Yeit Tzorech Lisrachek Tanya Nami Hochi Ben Azay Omer Hashkem Vatzei Harei Vatzei Kidei Shelo Tisrachek. So wake up early in the morning and go out and defecate and wait until nightfall, and then once again go out and defecate. And all this is Kadesh Lo Tisrachik, that it means that during the day you'll have to go a much greater distance because of modesty. So if he regulates himself to defecate at night, he won't find the need, the pressing need, the urgent need to defecate during the day, in which case he'll have to be Misrachik Mibeso, has to go out to defecate in the fields. And that's what we saw in a brisa of Ben Azay, and it's all a matter of regulating yourself. The Gemara now brings the rest of the brisa, another din with regarding defecating. It says, Mashmesh Veshev. What does this mean, Mashmesh Veshev? So let's read. The English translation says one first should manipulate himself there and then sit down, but he should not sit down first and then manipulate himself. So we're stressing the importance of cleaning the seat before sitting on it, so that one's clothing would not become soiled. Rashi doesn't like this interpretation. According to the Hebrew translation, it means Mimashmesh Tchila Bepia Tabas Ali De Evan Ktano Kisem. First, he should use whatever he has to use to clean his anal opening, and then im yesh lecha tzorach liftoach es hanekev kidei lahakel al yitzia, then you should sit down. So there's some way that he's memashmesh b'piyat habas first, in a tzniyastika way, before he exposes himself through yeshiva. So he does the tzniyas first, and then he exposes himself. If he does it the other way around, and he sits, and then he does mishmush, that's going to cause more of an immodesty. He'll expose himself. And it says here that kol hayoshev v'achkach memashmesh, if he exposes himself in this immodest way, afilu osim kshofim baspanya, if they do sorcery out in Spain, which is a far-off country, heim boim olav, somehow the mazikim from that sorcery are going to come all the way here to damage him, to injure him, because of his immodest behavior. Then the Gemara clarifies, v'inshe v'yosiv, let's say he forgot and he sat down already, and then achakach mimashmesh, and now he has to do this mishmush to somehow, as we said before, bipiat habas, to use an even to bipiat habas, to open himself more. Is matakanta, what should he do now to protect himself from these sorcerers? So Gemara answers, ki koi lema hachi. As soon as he gets up, after finishing defecating, he should recite the following formula. Lo li, lo li. In other words, you won't be able to do it to me, you won't be able to do it to me. Lo tochim, velo tachtim. Not with sorcery, which is called tochim, and not with another kind of kishu, which is called tachtim. Lo hani, velo mahani. Not all of them, and not part of them. Lo charshi de charosha v'lo charshi de charoshasa. Not the kishufim hamachashvim and not the kishufim hamachashvos, the males and the females. And through this lachash, by reciting this formula, he'll be saved from the mazikin. So not upon me, not upon me, neither tachim nor tachtim, neither these spells nor a portion of these spells, neither the spells of a sorcerer, the spell of a sorceress. This is how he's going to protect himself from harm. And this leads us to the next Gemara, which is on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, and Amir Tz Hashem will cover this in the next year.